is leaders in some area of their life. They're leaders over themselves. They're leaders of their family. They're leaders in their work. They're leaders in their church. They're leaders somewhere. Everybody's leading and influence, which just means influencing somebody. And I thank you, Father, that you're raising up leaders who influence in the direction of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking for a little bit. I'm just going to fly through it, but a 4:18 anointing. And every one of you, if you're following God, He has a purpose. Many times, and we get into a survival mentality. I just want to survive this week. We all go through that. That is, you know, but it shouldn't be every week. If it's every week, start going, Father, start shifting me, showing me how to shift my circumstances, shift my lifestyle, so that over time, my weeks that I survive are smaller than my weeks that I thrive. And I, you know, to say we're going to have 100%, 52 weeks out of the year where we thrive is unrealistic. But I would like it to be more this year of a higher percentage of thrive versus survive. Now, what do I mean by survive? It means, am I going to make it? It's hopeless, full of anxiety, full of just discouragement, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you notice, I didn't say absence of trials. The Father God, now this is hard. We believe in the charismatic theology, but there's been this stream that over time, you have less trials. God, Jesus said, you will have trials until I come back. And these trials are not Him persecuting you. These trials are not Him necessarily even discipline you, although that can be a trial. If you're doing something He doesn't want you to do, He'll discipline you. But these trials are teaching us how to survive and change the world around us. And it needs to be changed. Every day it's getting more, less like God and more like the principles of the demonic kingdom. And we're going to talk a little bit about it, but you are placed and you were born at this time to learn how to thrive by carrying a 4:18 anointing. We'll look at the verse here. 4:18 anointing into the world. Jesus is the hope for you. He is the hope for the world, but He uses you to bring that hope to it. We don't just sit around. If we just sit around, nothing happens. Or very little happens. He still does stuff in His sovereign. But He's going, I am going to try to make each of you a bride for my Son Jesus, the bridegroom, an equal partner, not that we're God, but a partner that can walk with the bridegroom. How would you like to marry somebody and they can't hardly walk with you? They don't understand what you're saying. They don't recognize your voice. They don't have any skills whatsoever. They just keep going, drag me along. Drag me along. Help me to get across the finish line when I die. He's not doing that. He's going, my kids, my sons are going to hear my voice. They're going to know my plans. And we're together going to make a difference in the world. Yes, I have, you know, and I put the Holy Spirit in you to give you power. He thinks more of you than most of us realize. Some of us got a revelation of this, but not all of us. He thinks more of you than you, most of us realize. And I just want to tell you today, there's hope. He has a higher view of you walking with the Holy Spirit than many of us do. As I love what Bill Johnson says. Bill Johnson says, the biggest challenge to Christians is not the devil. It's what's between your two ears. And I thought, man, that's good. And so some of this is to retrain us. But there's a Luke 4:18 anointing. This is the mission statement. We've talked about it several weeks that Jesus said at the beginning. And as we said, everything that Jesus did is licensed for you. He was 100% God, but He did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Just turn to somebody around you and go, you have the same Holy Spirit as Jesus. You do. You do, man. We have to get that between our minds. So this is for you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He does five things here. The Spirit of the Lord is on you. And you're going to start seeing these five things happen in your life. This is the fourth week we've talked about it. I'm not going to repeat all of it. But preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. I wonder if Jesus used notes. Somehow or another, I don't think so. Pulls out his parchment whenever he needs to. Rolls to the right place. Recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. I do want to pause and review this one, though. Recovery of sight for the blind. He did give physical sight to those that were physically blind. But this is so much bigger than this. Let me read to you 2 Thessalonians. I don't have that verse up there. Verse 9. If you can write it down, look at it later, or come back, or jump there in your Bible app. How many actually have a Bible in this room? A physical papers? That's a pretty good percentage. That's probably about half of you. There's a great reward for you in heaven. I think there's more of an anointing when you carry paper versus pad. Yeah, there you go. It doesn't need charging. It's always, it charges you all. There you go. I need to bring a Bible to at least look like I'm a preacher up here next week. I think there's one back there in the library somewhere. I'm just going to place it right here. And yeah, I need one of those that comes in on a carrying case. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:9. We actually have one of those. It's about 150 years old. It's Susan's somebody. That thing is a monster, man. I'm talking probably weighs 30 pounds. Yeah, it's the Bible. It's not a Bible. Yeah, it's the Bible of a capital T. Second Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. And so that they all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. That's a scary verse. You can say no to the Holy Spirit so long, He finally just says, okay, you've chosen your path. I'm going to put delusion on you, and you'll never see. That's humbling, isn't it? That's scary. Just, Father, let me never get to that place. Let me read to you Isaiah 5:20. It is a verse for today. Woe to those who call evil good, Isaiah 5:20, and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We live in a time from the Supreme Court through all of our institutions, through our schools, and in a large majority, not just 50%, of those that are called churches today, we're calling evil good and good evil. Darkness is light and light for darkness. That's just a fact. I don't want to discourage you because you know why? The Lord has given us an anointing to recover sight for the blind. This is blind of heart, blind of soul, blind of thinking. I'd never would have thought in the churches in America the things that we're doing have escalated to what they are now. It is unbelievable. I don't even need to go into it. You know what they are. Every perverse sin in the Bible, perverse sexual sin in the Bible, is now being ordained in most of the denominations across America. That is darkness, not light. That is evil, not good. And as you stand, see, the problem is right now, it is hard to stand. Because everybody says you're a Luddite. That means you're old. You have old thinking. You're from 40 years ago. You're not up to snuff. Well, if this is up to snuff, if this is the new thinking, oh my gosh. And so you stand strong. And as you stand strong, as we read earlier, for the truth, the light in you and your influence, whatever your influence is, may just be you, most likely your family, work, the light will get lighter even if the dark gets darker. And right now, we are in a minority. They estimate only 10,000 churches out of 365,000 believe that the Word of God is for today. And it's all this combination. Jesus Christ is the only way, and purity in sexual relationships. 10,000 out of 365,000. So we're in the minority. But I'm telling you, as we walk in purity, see, Jesus Christ is pure. He has not compromised anything. He has been around since the earth was created. He has been around since before the earth was created. John 1 says that He created the earth and He's going to be around again. He doesn't change. And as we walk with Him, you can't judge what is right by what's the most popular thing in social media or the news. What's right is, what does the Bible say? And as you say yes, it increases the purity in you, and the light grows, and the anointing to do this grows. As we said, 4:18 world. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. We're the Gentiles, if you're not familiar with that. Maybe there's some Jews in here. Is there any Jews in here that we know of? You're a Jew? Okay, all right. She's a kidding Jew. It's an ethnic thing. It has to be a genetic thing in your background. You were born a Jew. Somewhere in the past, yeah. Has to be a genetic Jew. A Jew genetically. And this is the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had an evil rule. This was not paradise in Babylon. Tell me what it means. For none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because even he recognized the Spirit of the Holy God lives in you. We may be in a time like Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, or America, calling it postmodern thinking, but they're going to get to the place where they need answers. And if you've been living for him, he was in the world, but he was not of the world. Belteshazzar was his Babylonian name. Daniel is who they're talking about. And that was his Jewish name. It doesn't matter what they call you. There's going to be a time where they're going to realize, I have pursued my selfish desires, what I want to do, what I feel is right. That's the new lie of postmodern. If I feel it, it's truth. That will not end well. There's truth whether we feel it or not. But there's going to come a time where they're going to see the 4:18 anointing on you. This is Daniel 4:18. And go, I need answers and nobody else can give it to me. I've gone to the end of it. But you've been over here living Micah 6:8, doing justice, loving mercy, walking humbly with your God. And one day they're going to go, I need a dream interpreted. Or I need a relationship healed. Or I need, you know, the nightmares at night are overtaking me. The depression is overtaking me. The anxiety is overtaking me. We can see in America how following our own desires have led us. If you're taking drugs for different things, do not come under condemnation here. I'm just making a general comment. Do you realize by far, we are the most medicated, prescription-wise, not even talking illegal, drugs of any developed, out of the top 50 developed countries in the world. The reason is because we've gone to ourselves. Some of it is true imbalances, and they need to have pills and medicine and different things. But some of it is the lifestyle. When you don't walk with God, it will produce an anxiety that medicine can only hide. Y'all got me? And they're going to come one day and the medicines are not going to work anymore and go, I need some deliverance. And the Lord's going to use you to make a difference in this society. Do y'all see that? And so the biggest thing right now is to not judge where you're at against what other people are saying. You judge where you're at by what does the truth of the Word of God say. Now, we talked, there's four P's that we have that the world needs. We talked about Jesus last week. And just real quick, and maybe we'll get to one more here today, is I said last week, ultimately, and really, it's the number one is the most important thing. It's just amazing how nobody respects Jesus today. We were at a Renaissance Festival fair yesterday. It was actually a great thing to go to. It's fun. And there was one place selling jewelry. It had a cross with a pentagram on top of it. You know, she'd wear his jewelry. And I was like, these people have no idea. You know, who knows why they did. They probably just thought it looked cool. But they have no idea what's going on. But Jesus restoring him to John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in a postmodern age. We don't even live in a modern age anymore. One of the beliefs of a postmodern age is there is no right way. It's whatever you find as your path is the way to go. I mean, you see it everywhere, especially as people get younger and younger. And if somebody comes along and goes, no, Jesus is the only way, they think you're an idiot. They think you're a product of your past, and you are. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus, if he walked into this room or walked into that person's bedroom, there is not going to be any other way. And that's what we have to get across. It's offensive right now. It offends the mind. It offends the heart. We don't get out there with signs and parade around saying Jesus is the only way. But if somebody comes to you, we've got four P's that we can offer them for hope. But the first one is you've got to realize Jesus gave you no wiggle room. He said, I am the only way. And until we repent, you're not going to get restored. Repent is not saying a prayer than doing what you want. I'm doing some of this review from last week. Repent is, that's why I said last week, it's up to God, but I don't see how the majority of people in this area are Christians. That's between them and God. He takes them on a continuum and a progression. But if you pray a prayer at 9 and you live like hell the rest of your life, I don't see any repentance. Let's be blunt. Is that too harsh? That doesn't mean you're perfect. But repentance means I lay down my will for your will. Jesus modeled this in the Garden of Gethsemane in the cross. And you have to do this really many times during your life. He said, Father, take this cross from me if you possibly can. And sometimes, I've said this a few times, I try not to because it's hard to say it in a loving way, so I usually don't say it. I see people just doing their own thing, living their own way, la, la, la. And then they say they're a Christian. A few times I was like, why do you say you're a Christian? Well, I prayed this prayer from 9 and I believe in eternal security. Well, I believe in eternal security if you actually got eternal. That means somewhere along your way, you said, I'm living for you, and you could tell by the changed lifestyle. And so, it's not to be mean. We're not doctrinal. The help comes when you submit your agenda in your life to Him. And then He starts reordering your life to how you were created. And then you start realizing, this is why I was born. This is the direction I'm going. If we expect to get heaven plus all the blessings of earth that we decide, the Bible says no. I know that's harsh, but this area, it's all over the world. But so we live in this area. This area has to realize you can't have it both ways. If you follow Jesus, guess what? You follow Jesus. It's not get my ticket to heaven and then do what I want. What you did is you made an intellectual assent that He is God, but the demons do that. They know that Jesus was God. You look through the Gospels many times. He started to do deliver people, and they go, it's not our time to go to hell. They knew he was the Son of God. They didn't want to get cast out then. And so we're not being mean to people. We're freeing people. We're saying, listen, you can believe whatever you want about Jesus. You can believe whatever you want about life. But freedom, relief, a 418 anointing, sight to the blind, freedom to captive, will only come when you give your life fully to Jesus Christ. And many times you have to do it several times a day. It may just be once a month, once every 6 months, depends on the stage your life is in. And so that was a review, but that's a big deal. Now let's talk a little bit about, well, we'll just fly through this next one, the prophetic. This one's cool. If you ask the Lord, let me put it this way. This is something I've learned. Those that irritate me the most, I mean, if you, I know nobody's got one of those, but you got somebody that irritates you the most. You know what you need to start doing? This is my suggestion. It's helped me. Nobody else has any of those people like that. That's pretty good. That's probably the ones with the paper Bible. They're carrying those paper Bible, and they don't have those people that irritate them. A real Bible, let's say. Is to start praying for them to get closer to Jesus. Well, we want to call down fire and judgment on them, don't we? I might remember Peter, and he's walking down with Jesus. I don't remember what city they got kicked out of. See, Jesus was rejected. If your standard of worthiness is to not be rejected, don't walk with Jesus. He got rejected all the time. In the end, he got rejected by every person on earth. And so if that's your standard, I mean, don't go out there to try to get rejected. That's just a masochistic mentality. But you will get rejected. But John and Peter, they got kicked out of some town. And Peter goes, Jesus, let's call down fire on them and burn them up. You know, remember that passage? Believe me. I've read enough scripture to not actually say that. But how many of you have fought of something equivalent for them? Take them home, Lord. Burn them up. Whatever it is. Again, those that don't have the real Bibles, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And Jesus rebukes them. He goes, you do not know what spirit you're of. If he wanted to burn them up, it's no big deal to him. He can burn them up. But he's leaving them on earth, jerk or not, to give them more time to repent and get saved so he doesn't have to send them to heaven. That's his mercy. Eventually, if they don't follow him, that'll happen. But that's not our call. So, if somebody's being a jerk around you or aggravating you, don't be of that spirit. Go, Father, I'm going to go the opposite way. I pray for them to get to know you, to get their life restored, sight to the blind, release to prisoners, whatever it may be, and start praying for them. And I'm telling you, it is the hardest thing you've ever, probably one of the hardest things you've ever done. Start praying. Start praying for them, especially your relatives. It is quiet in this place. Just start praying for them. What will happen eventually? I've never had it happen the first time or probably even the 10th time. But you start praying for them. He'll start showing you his heart. You got something? Yeah, he's saying the difference between Christianity and Islam. Islam's good at calling down the fire. Well, and so it's because Christianity is a love-based religion and Islam's a fear-based religion. And so, but start doing it. After a while, he'll start showing you his heart towards them and why he hasn't taken them home. And then many times he'll give you words of encouragement. This is the prophetic part. The prophetic part is just hearing God's voice. You start hearing God's voice about this person. I mean, you can hear about them even if they're not Christians. They were still created in His image. They were still birthed with His spiritual DNA. They were still birthed with His dream over it. They just haven't walked in it yet. Maybe their fault, maybe not. That doesn't really matter. But you start doing that, He'll start showing you some gifts inside of them. before it's over with, you may be the one that breaks through that hard shell. Because he says, how will we know that how will they know we are his disciples? By love. And it's not just love towards one another. It does say that. But it's also love towards them. That doesn't mean we coddle them. That doesn't mean we agree with their behavior. But you know, it's this generation doesn't understand you can love them and be their friend without agreeing with them. If you're under 35, they don't understand this. That's a Christian principle. I can love you, walk with you, and not agree with you. How many of you encountered that? That's why they get so aggravated if you disagree. They talk 100 miles an hour and gives you 48 comments on your Facebook page and send you texts because they got to have you to agree with them because their identity is in their opinions. And God's wanting to shift that. I'm telling you, there's nobody in here with 100% right opinions. There's nobody. Now, hopefully all of us are doing what we think is right now. But I guarantee you, sometime in the future, the Lord's going to reveal, you know, this isn't quite right. Either your doctrine, your thoughts, or who you are. How many of you believe something now you didn't believe 20 years ago? All of you that don't have paper Bibles. So there you go. It's just life. That doesn't mean you're intentionally doing it. So the best thing is to work on your relationship, not get hung up on right thinking. We want to do right thinking, but your identity is who you're walking with, and He'll show you where to do right thinking. And so He will give you prophetic words, prophetic understanding of that other person, empathy even towards them. How many of you and say your spouse or your best friend have a jerk friend, and for some reason you have a heart for them and they don't? They're the same person. But God puts His heart in you because He wants them touched, and it's the love of God that touches them. And you can be a key component that you'll just never know about it. Y'all with me? I forgot to turn my timer on. I think we're about... I get up here and... I think it's been about 30 minutes. Do you got Audacity up? What does it say on there? 27. That's good enough for today. Amen. You know what we got next week for some of you? Huh?
I want to know what it's set at.
What'd you say?
What's it set at? Does it change from week to week? You opened yourself up.
I deserve all of that. My goal... And it's a goal. And it's probably a loose-knit goal. Is 30 minutes. And so he says we're at 28 minutes, so we'll stop. Because this next point, if we go to another one, it's another 10 minutes. And I know all of you can focus if I preach for 2 hours, but there might be one of you in here that might lose me at 45 minutes. And my daughter raises her hand. Thank you for that encouragement. I have trained you well. People will thank you afterwards. But I cannot overemphasize. I've talked about the world and the evil. I think we need to have, we'd be aware of what's going on. But I'm here to tell you He is perfectly positioning us for His purpose. And we're going to have the funnest time in the darkness because we hold the flashlight. When you go into a dark room with a flashlight, the flashlight doesn't go out. The darkness does not overwhelm the flashlight. The flashlight lights up the room. And it's the same way. And every one of you are a flashlight in the Spirit. And there's going to come a time you're going to go, I am glad I lived in America during this time. Because there's a clear division between the darkness and the flashlight. And I'm the flashlight. And we're LED flashlights now, so the bulb lasts a long time. Amen. Trying to think of other ways to do that analogy, but it's time to get over with it. I'm such a polished professional speaker, aren't I, Brian? But at least you keep, huh? In my TED Talks, but at least... You actually listened one time, didn't you? Or did you just make that up just now. I mentioned that most preachers just do TED Talks. And so, all right, Father, I just thank you for every person here. And I thank you that you are making a bride out of us that is going to walk with you into religious places like the temple, money changers area. And that you're going to walk with us into those areas that the younger brother went into with prostitutes and whatever else was going on. And that wherever you go, light shines in that darkness. And it rescues people. They see the real love and how it's so much better than living for ourselves, either self-righteous or just plain selfish. And we just thank you, Father, that you're going to save Northwest Georgia. You're going to save Whitfield County. And it is going to be full of passionate people that have eyes only for you. In Jesus' name.